بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is class number 27 from the discussion on the three fundamental principles. And the author, rahimahullah, reached the point where he was speaking of the pillars of faith, and that the pillars of faith are six. أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وبالقدر خيره وشره. To truly believe in Allah and His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and to believe in the pre-decree, it's good and it's bad. The first pillar is the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, most mighty and most majestic. And the belief in Allah comprises four fundamental matters. The first, the belief in His existence, and the second, the belief in His lordship, and the third, the belief in His divinity, uluhiyya, and the fourth is the belief in His names and attributes. As to the belief in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah discussed this thoroughly and with a great benefit. He rahimahullah mentioned that the existence of Allah is proven by four matters. The fitrah, which means the natural inclination or natural disposition, and the al-aql, the intellect, and the third, al-wahi, the revelation, and the fourth, al-his, that which is experienced and perceived, al-his. As to the proof of the fitrah, then every created being is created upon the natural disposition of belief in its creator without any previous thought or education. The person continues on this natural disposition unless he is taken away by direct effects from his parents or the environment around him. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every child is born upon the natural disposition, al-fitrah, then his parents change him into a Jew, or a Christian, or a Magian. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. As to the proof of the intellect, this is due to the fact that the created things, the earlier and the latter ones, must have a creator who brought them into existence, since it is not possible for any being to create itself, nor that it should just appear by chance without a cause. And it's not possible for anything to bring itself into existence, since something cannot create itself. And this is because before its existence, it did not exist. So how could it be a creator? Also, it is not possible that it just appeared by chance without a cause, because everything that comes into existence must have someone that brought it into being. And in addition, this great arrangement and astounding arrangement and harmonious order in the universe, and the agreement and coherence between the causes and their effects, and between all that exists, makes it impossible that it all came into existence randomly and without a cause. Because when there is something which comes about randomly, having no order at the root of its existence, then how can it exist and remain in a state of order and arrangement, and how can it develop in such a state? So therefore, since it is not possible that creation brought itself into existence, nor that it came into being randomly and without a cause, then it has to be the case that it has one who brought it into being, and He is Allah, the Lord of all creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this intellectual proof and this decisive and conclusive argument in Surah At-Tur, in chapter 52, verse 35. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created by nothing, or were they themselves the creators? This means that they did not come into existence without a creator, and they did not create themselves. So it is established for certain that their creator is Allah, the one who is challenging them and addressing them by these arguments, the exalted and most high. And that's why one of the companions, may Allah be pleased, with them all. His name is Jubair ibn Mut'im. May Allah be pleased with him. Before accepting Islam, when he heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting this verse 52:35, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُسَيْطِرُونَ أَمْ لَهُمْ سُلَّمٌ يَسْتَمِعُونَ فِيهِ فَلْيَأْتِ مُسْتَمِعُهُمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Were they created by nothing? Or were they themselves the creators? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Nay, they have no certainty. Or do they have possession of the treasures of your Lord? Or are they the ones having power and control over the affairs? He, Jubair, was a mushrik at that time, a disbeliever. He said afterwards, my heart almost flew. كاد قلبي أن يطير. And this was when Iman first settled in my heart. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, in volume 6, 337, number 357, in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Shaykh rahimahullah gave an example. He said, if a person told you about a decorated palace, surrounded by gardens, through which rivers flowed, and that it was filled with carpets and couches, and decorated with all sorts of adornments and treasures, then he said to you that this palace and all within it brought itself into existence, or that it just suddenly appeared like that without any cause or creator. Straight away, you would deny that, and declare that he was lying, and you would take his words to be foolishness. So can it then be permissible to say that this vast creation, containing the earth and its sky, its stars and all within it, and its amazing and astounding order, brought itself into being, or that it just appeared without any creating it? Thirdly, as to the proof of the revelation for the existence of Allah, this is stated in all the revealed books, also the rulings and laws sent down in revelation, which ensure the well-being of the creation, are a proof that they are from a wise Lord who knows everything that benefits his creation. Also, the information about the creation contained in the revelation, which is testified to by reality, proves that it comes from a Lord who is fully capable of creating and bringing about whatever he informed of. As to the proof of the his, meaning that contained in what is experienced and perceived for the existence of Allah, then this is from two angles. The first angle, we hear and see those who supplicate being answered, and those in distress who call upon him being relieved to such an extent that it is a certain proof of his existence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Most High says about Nuh alayhi salam, وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ, in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:76. وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ. And remember Nuh, when he called upon Allah to destroy his unbelieving folk who obstinately denied and rejected Allah, we listened to his invocation and saved him and his family from the great distress. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 9, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. And from the Sunnah, the incident about the Bedouin Arab who entered the mosque on the day of Jumu'ah while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was delivering the khutbah and said, O Messenger of Allah, property is being destroyed, the dependents have become hungry, so supplicate to Allah for us. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So the Prophet ﷺ raised up his hands and supplicated. So clouds like mountains appeared, and he did not come down from his minbar pulpit before I saw rain flowing down his beard. Anas bin Malik, the narrator of the hadith, mentioned. Then on the succeeding Jumu'ah, Friday, that same Bedouin or someone else stood and said, O Messenger of Allah, the houses are collapsing and wealth is being flooded. So supplicate to Allah for us. So he raised his hand and said, O Allah, around us and not upon us. And he did not point to any direction except that it cleared. And this is something always witnessed till this day, that those who call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and fulfill the condition for dua, for supplication to be answered, are indeed responded to. The second angle is in the clear signs known as miracles brought by the prophets and seen by the people or heard of by them, are decisive proof for the one who sent them. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. And that is because they were things outside the realm of a human ability and were done by Allah the Most High to aid and help His messengers. As an example is the sign given to Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Musa, when Allah the Most High commanded him to strike the sea with his staff. So he struck it, and 12 separate dry paths were opened up through it. The water being like mountains between them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنِ اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرَ فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. Then we inspired Musa alayhi salam, strike the ocean with your staff, and it split into separate parts, and each part was like a huge mountain. And this is in Surah Ash-Shu'ara 26:63. And a second example was the sign given to Isa alayhi salam, that he used to give life to the dead and bring them out of their graves by the permission of Allah. As in Surah Al-Imran chapter 3 verse 49, قال الله تعالى وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And I revive the dead by Allah's permission. And the third example, that which was given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Quraysh, his tribe, the disbelievers then asked for a sign. So he pointed to the moon and it split into two. And that was seen by the people. Concerning this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. In Surah Al-Qamar 54, verses 1 to 2, اقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ. The hour has drawn near and the moon has been cleft asunder. And if they see a sign, they turn away and say, this is continuous magic, that which will pass away. These are signs which were seen and perceived and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused to occur as supporting proof and assistance for His messengers. And they are decisive proofs for His existence subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High and free of all imperfection. The second matter of belief in Allah is the belief, the iman in His Lordship, in His rububiyyah, meaning that He alone is the Lord, having no sharer in that, nor any helper. So the term Ar-Rabb, the Lord, means that He is the one who creates, the sovereign king, and the command is His. This is the meaning of Ar-Rabb. So there is no creator except Allah, nor any sovereign Lord except Him. And there is no command except for Him. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 54, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Certainly creation and the command are His. And in Surah Fatir, chapter 35, verse 13, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِطْمِيرٍ. That is Allah your Lord, who alone has the right to worship. It is who has complete sovereignty. His is the kingdom. And those whom you invoke or call upon instead of Him don't even possess and control the amount of the thin membrane covering a date stone. It is not known that anyone from the creation denied the lordship of Allah, the one free of all imperfections, except one who did so out of arrogance and not out of belief in what he said. And this was the case with Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, when he said to his people, as Allah mentioned this in Surah An-Nazi'at in 79 verse 24, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your highest Lord, Most High. Also, in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah told us about him saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي. O chiefs, O nobles, I know not that you have an ilah, no other god for you besides me. He did not say this out of belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in fact, in Surah An-Naml 27:14, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا. ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. They rejected Allah's clear sign or signs and belied them wrongfully and arrogantly. Yet in their hearts they knew that they were true and from Allah, and that Musa is the messenger of Allah in truth. And they did so due to their transgression and arrogance. Prophet Musa alayhi salam said said to Fir'aun, to the Pharaoh, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 102. قَالَ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنْزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَصَائِرِ وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّكَ يَا فِرْعَوْنُ مَثْبُورًا. Verily you know that these signs have been sent down by none but by the Lord of the heavens and the earth as clear evidences and proofs. And I think you are indeed Fir'aun, are one accursed and deprived of good, doomed to destruction. So the mushriks used to affirm the lordship of Allah, the Most High, even though they worshipped others along with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They admitted to his lordship. In fact, in Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 9, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. And if you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were to ask them, those mushriks, who has created the heavens and the earth, they will surely say, the Almighty, the All-Knower created them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in many places in the Quran, as in Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verses 84-89. قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ قُلْ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Say, who is the earth? Who is the earth and whosoever is therein, if you know? They will say, it is Allah's. Say, will you not then remember? قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعِ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Say, who is the Lord of the seven heavens and the Lord of the great throne? They will say, Allah. قُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Will you not then fear Allah? قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Say, in whose hand is the sovereignty of everything? And he protects all, while against whom there is no protector? They say, all that belongs to Allah. قُلْ فَأَنَّا تُسْحَرُونَ. How then are you deceived and turned away from the truth? And in Surah Al-Zukhruf 43, 87, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ فَأَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. And if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were to ask those from your people who worship others along with Allah, who created them, they will surely say, Allah. How then are they turned away from the worship of Allah who created them? Now, the command of Allah covers the kawni and shar'i commands. What does this mean? The command of Allah covers the kawni, which means the creational command, and the shar'i command, which means the legislative command. So, just as he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, arranges and controls the creation, he decrees for it whatever he wishes according to his wisdom, then likewise, he is the sovereign judge therein, who lays down and prescribes the acts of worship and the judgments for social affairs and dealings, also according to his wisdom. So, whoever takes someone else along with Allah the Most High to prescribe and legislate with regard to acts of worship, or as a sovereign or judge in transactions and social affairs, then he has committed shirk in that and has not realized Iman. The third matter from the matters of Iman, or belief in Allah, is the belief, Iman, in Allah's sole right to worship. And this is Al-Uluhiyya, or divinity. And that is that he alone is the one who has the right to be worshipped, and no share of any worship is to be directed to anyone else besides him. Al-Ilah means that which is worshipped with love and veneration. Al-Ilah means that which is worshipped with love and magnification or veneration. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 163. And the God alone who has the right to be worshipped is a single God, Allah. So don't worship anything besides him, nor associate anything in worship with him, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. In Surah Al-Imran 3:18, Allah bears witness that لا إله إلا هو, that none has the right to be worshipped but him, and likewise the angels and the people of knowledge bear witness. He who maintains justice, none has the right to be worshipped but him, the Almighty and the All-Wise. Everything which is taken as a god to be worshipped besides him is a false and futile object of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj 22:62, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. That is because Allah, He is the truth. And what they, the polytheists, invoke besides Him is batil, is falsehood. Falsehood. And verily Allah, He is the Most High, the Most Great. And the fact that they are called gods in no way gives them the right to be worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Najm 53:23, إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. They are but names which you have named, you and your forefathers or your fathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. They follow but a guess and that which they themselves desire, whereas there has surely come to them the guidance from their Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exposed the futility of the objects of worship by two clear intellectual proofs. First, these gods which they worship do not possess any attributes of divinity. Rather, they are created beings which cannot create, nor can they bring any benefit to those who worship them, nor can they keep any harm away from them, nor do they have any power over their life or death, nor do they own any control and control anything in the heavens, nor have any share in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states this in Surah Al-Furqan 25:3, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. Yet they have taken besides Him other aliha gods that they created nothing but are themselves created, and they worship them. And these gods possess neither hurt nor benefit for themselves, and possess no power of causing death, nor of giving life, nor of raising the dead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further described them as in Surah Al-A'raf chapter 7, 191 and 2. أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ لَهُمْ نَصْرًا وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَنصُرُونَ. Do they attribute as partners to Allah those who created nothing, but they themselves are created? No help can they give them, nor can they help themselves. So, this is the state of these gods. Then, to worship them is the greatest folly and is totally futile. The second intellectual proof is that those who worship other than Allah used to affirm that Allah the Most High alone is the Lord and the Creator, and that in His hand is the control of everything, and that He protects and none can protect from Him. So what does this really necessitate? This necessitates that they should single Him out with all worship, just as they have singled Him out by affirming all lordship for Him. This brings us to the fourth matter regarding the belief in Allah's names and attributes. What does this mean? It means that to affirm whatever names and attributes Allah affirmed for Himself in His book or in the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a matter befitting Him without changing or twisting their wording or meaning. And this is called tahrif. Changing or twisting the wording or meaning is called tahrif. And without denial of them, and the denial of them is called ta'til. And the denial is called ta'til. And without asserting how they are, because asserting what they are is called takyif, and without declaring them to be like the attributes of the creation, and this is called tamthil, likening the attributes of Allah to the creation is called tamthil. So, we affirm to Allah the names and attributes He affirms to Himself in His book or in the sunnah of His Messenger without tahrif, without ta'til, without takyif, and without tamthil, without tahrif, without changing or twisting their wording or meaning, and without ta'til, meaning without denial of them, and without takyif, without asserting how they are, and without tamthil, without declaring them to be like the attributes of the creation. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-A'raf, in chapter 7, 180, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most excellent and perfect names, so call on Him by them, and abandon the company of those who deviate and commit shirk with regard to them. They will be punished for what they used to do. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى in Surah Al-Rum, chapter 30, verse 27, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. His is the highest and most perfect description. None has the right to be worshipped but Him, and nothing is like Him in the heavens and the earth, and He is the Almighty, All-Wise. And in Surah Al-Shu'ara 42:11, قال الله تعالى ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. There is nothing like unto Him, and He is the All-Hearing, All-Seeing. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, who died in 150, corresponding to 767, he said, it is not proper for anyone to say anything about the essence of Allah, but one must describe Him as He described Himself. He must not say of his own opinion anything about Him, the Exalted and Most High, is the Rabb of Al-Alameen, the Lord of all that exists. And he, rahimahullah, said, Allah is not to be described by the qualities of creation. His anger and pleasure are two of His attributes, without kayf, without stating the manner of how. And this presents the saying of Ahlul Sunnah, He, Allah, gets angry and becomes pleased, and it is not befitting to say that His anger means His punishment and that His pleasure is His reward. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah affirmed the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they befit His majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said rahimahullah, quote, He, Allah, has a hand and a face and a self. As Allah stated in the Quran, whatever Allah mentioned in the Quran from the face, hand and self are sifat, are attributes, without kayf, without how. And it must not be said that His hand is His ability or ni'mah or grace, because this is an ibtal, this is a nullification of the attributes. And when he was asked about the attributes of nuzul, of descension to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending to the lower heaven in the latter third of the night, he said, Allah descends to the lower heaven every night. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, He descends without kayf, without a manner, without saying how. And he rahimahullah said, His attributes are unlike those of the creatures. He knows not like our knowledge. He is able, not like our ability. He sees, not like our seeing. He hears, not like our hearing. And He speaks, not like our speaking. And this is exactly the position of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim regarding all of the sifat, of the attributes of Allah. So He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but not like us. He speaks, but not like us. He descends to the lowest heaven, but there is nothing like unto Him in His descent. He hears, but not like our hearing. He sees, but not like us. He has a face, but not like us. He has hands, but not like our hands, and so forth. There is nothing like unto Him, and He is the all-hearer, all-seer. In this ayah, Allah negates the likeness to anything, but then He affirms that He is qualified with the attributes of hearing and sight. Does this mean that He is like creatures that possess hearing and sight? Nay. The negation came in the first part of the verse, and people of innovation cite the negation part of the verse and stop short from quoting the affirmation part of the same verse, because they follow their desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed the names and attributes to Himself and negated the likeness of anything unto Him. Had the affirmation necessitating tashbih, likeness to the creation, then it would imply contradiction in the speech of Allah, and that its parts refute one another. Far is Allah above what the innovators mention. Second, it is not necessary that agreement in name or in an attribute between two things obligates likeness between them. Indeed, you see two people in a state of agreement where each is a hearing, seeing, and speaking human. In no way this necessitates likeness in the human values, nor in the hearing, sight, or speech. You see that animals have hands, legs, and eyes. This kind of agreement does not necessitate that their hands, their legs, and eyes are like each other. If this distinction in the agreement in names and qualities amongst the created things is clear, then the distinction between the creator and the created thing is greater and more evident. And the approach of those who deny the true meaning of the sifat, the attributes, their approach is really contradictory. For example, while they say we defend the position that Allah is not like His creation, they refuse to affirm the face as one of Allah's magnificent attributes, claiming that it should be interpreted in such a way that does not imply that He has a true face, otherwise He would be like us. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above any imperfection. You see now the contradiction. Now, when it comes to the attribute of hearing, they affirm it, saying that it is not like the hearing of the created. The path of the righteous predecessors is to affirm all the attributes that Allah affirmed to Himself in the Quran or on the tongues of His prophets, believing that nothing is like unto Allah in His names and attributes. The meanings of Allah's sifat attributes are true and known. When Imam Malik, rahimahullah, who died in the year 179 after Hijrah, corresponding to 796, was asked about the manner in which Allah istawa ascended on His arsh, he replied, "Istawa is not unknown, meaning it's meaning that befits Allah. It's not just something which is unknown. The kaif, the how, the manner is incomprehensible. And believing in it, believing in istiwa, is obligatory. And asking about it, asking about the how, is an innovation." The same position was stated by Rabi'a bin Abi Abdul Rahman, the Shaykh of Imam Malik. The same holds true with all the other attributes. The face is not unknown, meaning in its meaning. The how of it is incomprehensible. And believing that Allah has a real face that befits His majesty and does not resemble or look like anything of His creation is obligatory. This is the true path of the righteous predecessors. The affirmation of Allah's sifat attributes on their apparent meaning without tamthil, without likening to the creation, was the norm until the horns of innovation of bid'ah projected in the 3rd century after Hijrah. The renowned Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr, who lived between 368 and died in 463, corresponding to 978 and died in 1071, the master of Islamic sciences in his times, and one of the great Maliki scholars of Northwest Africa, the author of many books, including At-Tamheed, which is an explanation of Imam Malik's Muwatta. He, rahimahullah, said, quote, "Ahlus Sunnah agreed upon affirming the attributes that came in the Quran and the Sunnah, believing in them and that they are to be taken on their haqiqa, real and true meaning, and not according to majaz, to metaphoric interpretations." End of quote. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, who died in the year 204, corresponding to 820 after Hijrah, to 204 after Hijrah, corresponding to 820 of the current era, he said, rahimahullah, "The saying of the Sunnah, which I hold to, and which I found those whom I have seen holding, like Sufyan and Malik and others, is testification that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, that Allah is above His arsh, His throne, over His heaven. He draws near to His creation as He wishes. ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا كيف يشاء. Descends to the lowest heaven, as came in the authentic hadith, as He wishes." In his book, As-Siyar, Imam al-Dhahabi reported that Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahumullah, said, quote, "We affirm these attributes which came in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and we repudiate the likeness of anything to Himself as He negated it in His saying, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like unto Him, and He is the all-hearer, all-seer." The position of the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who died in 241 after Hijrah, corresponding to 855 of the current era, he said, was very well manifested in his stand against the innovators who nullified the names and attributes of Allah, imputing tashbih, likeness, on anyone who affirms the sifat as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His messenger and His messenger affirmed them. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah's position, he said, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, ascribe to Allah the attributes with which He qualified Himself and deny those which He denied with Himself. The Imams of Ahlul Hadith, including Imam Muslim, Al-Bukhari, and Hammad, his Shaykh, Ibn Manda, Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Battah, all affirm the sifat on their apparent meaning which fits the majesty of Allah without likeness to his creation. This is the position of Ahlul Sunnah concerning the belief in Allah's names and attributes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who affirm their belief in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala on the way of the righteous predecessors. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.